Locked On Middays with Marcus Maben, presented by PapaJohns.com on 93.9 The Ville. And right now, enjoy three medium one-topping pizzas for $5.55 each when using the promo code MABEN5.
Welcome back. Midday with Marcus Maben. 8150, 93.9 is the number. 93.9 is the station. People, I came back with a plan. The plan was to just massage in a little basketball talk. But first, I want to remind myself what you're up against on your Saturday. And I just do a last second glimpse of what's on the horizon, right? Steve, I don't know if you and I are going to be able to discuss Indiana in front of these people, right? You ever have like, it's one of those situations where you and I can fight,
yeah,
but we can't fight in public.
Right.
Because if we're fighting about this in public, or if we're both feeling really bad,
fair,
out in front, public, in front of everybody,
yes,
it's going to permeate through the community.
Yeah.
Steve.
I see that.
The Indiana Hoosiers are playing the best basketball of any team in the country right now.
That may be a stretch, but they do look better.
That was my panic-stricken voice, okay. Steve.
Yeah.
Thank you for your sarcasm on the kickback.
Yeah, I hear you. They're playing well. So,
no, they're playing really,
they are playing
really
good.
Well.
And they have strong big men. Morgan, Davis. Like
Did you just say strong big man?
Two strong big men.
Did you just say two strong big men?
Yeah, and I mean, they're playing enough to where I don't think this is – when you watched them, they opened the season against Indiana State and got busted. And we're all like, whoa, what the heck? Indiana's
right.
Crap, you know?
Right.
And then Seton Hall beats them. And then all of a sudden they play Duke at home. Now be it at home. And it was impressive. It was about as
impressive
of a loss, yeah, as you can have. So then they turn around and they bust Iowa last night. Now, Iowa's 4-5 now. So
Iowa preseason.
Wanted to, by the way, what the crap is the Big Ten playing all these games early for? Like, messaging.
They're getting it in.
I'm forgetting. I'm like, is it February? Like, what the heck?
Right. They're going full all conference.
Fall asleep or Rip Van Winkle or something. Like, what happened? I missed the whole season.
Right.
Thank God. What happened?
Don't say that, Steve. So, don't. You do realize that your microphone's on.
I
right?
slept through it all.
Yeah. Did you say thank God? Yeah, so, no, Steve. But, enjoy it.
But they, but now. I mean, they come in here, they need a good road win. They haven't looked good on the road so far, but they need a big road win.
Is that all you got?
And I think Louisville's a team, though, right now, that looks like if I'm coming in, I'm not that intimidated by
it. Not only am I not intimidated, the last two Indiana games, I need some get-back.
Mm-hmm.
You were Purdue's get-back game.
Yeah.
You were Seton Hall. Let's crack Louisville's shell while they're, you know, while they're reeling.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Indiana is as hungry. And I'll say this in the most uncomfortable way humanly sure. possible. Indiana fans might penetrate the Yum Center.
Oh, there will be.
Infiltrate.
Yeah.
Sorry, infiltrate.
They might what?
Infiltrate.
What are they going to do? They're going to do that outside? penetrate. Hey, Brian, did you hear that? Indiana fans,
oh
Indiana
God.
Fans are going to penetrate the Yum Center.
Yeah, I heard it. And I'm trying to ignore it.
I tried to ignore it myself.
I also heard Marcus say they're playing the best basketball in the country.
Yeah, yes. Well,
I did hear a lot of crazy things in the past few minutes.
I would be penetrating too if I was playing the best basketball in the country.
Top dog.
No, literally. Yeah.
Well, come here. I'm going to take care of that stadium before I go in.
I'm going to penetrate that stadium.
Look, it's IU fans. Let them do what they want.
Center.
But once they're done.
I told you, people, I'm in here with two big children.
Yes.
And they're.
Well, once they're done penetrating, they're going to go in the stadium. But I do agree with you.
I think to make some chicken.
No. So, like, seriously, though, I do think there will be a pretty good contingent
of
Indiana fans.
Because you didn't have that. All you had is irritating corner.
Yeah, behind the bench. I think
were you staring at them the same way the last
no,
game?
No, they weren't that bad. they weren't that bad. They were just cheering for their team, and you're kind of like, all right. It's always that one or two sometimes that just stand out that are being, like, overly obnoxious, like, that bother me.
Benji the Meter Man says Big Ten is playing all these games early because they're holding their conference tourney a week earlier than everyone else so they could get Madison Square Garden as the venue.
Okay.
Thank you, Benji the Meter Man.
Okay. It's still tough, it's man. Still messes with your brain. It's like, something's not right.
Your basketball circadian rhythm is off with them playing so many early. Yeah, hang on. They're playing real games.
It's like when we played Virginia last year early. I was like, whoa, time out. Like, what are we doing
after
here?
Kentucky?
I know. I was like, this is weird. But I think you will see a lot more. So it will be
playing good basketball. Steve.
You're more likely to be sitting next to an Indiana fan than you were other fan bases.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So it's going to be a different feel.
So the home advantage, Romeo going to be there?
I don't care. I don't really care. I hope not. I don't care.
They can hear you scratching your beard in frustration on the air, Steve.
I don't really care.
Make sure you people go back and listen to the podcast, ESPN Louisville. Go down to click on the Midday with Marcus Maven tab listen to Steve Rummage scratch his beard in frustration when we talk about Romeo Langford.
I know.
He was coming here. And that's what happened, Steve.
Yes, you were getting Simons, Randy, Langford, Moses Brown. Right, Balsa was going to reclassify.
Right, right.
Like you were, yes, you were going to be the best team in the country.
Moment Rick Pitino was gone in hindsight. But you see, that's kind of the point I was making, Steve, yesterday, that just everything got better in hindsight the moment you knew.
Yeah.
Right? He got better as even Kentucky fan. Just, it's a hell of a team you had on the way in here.
Yeah.
Your recruit was getting ready to take over us, and we knew it. And we all knew it.
Yeah, but they do that crap a lot. That's stupid.
You're so harsh with that with that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So
that was really aggravating. To think about. No, I don't care if he's there or not. But there will
be. I watched him dunking on some fools on the highlight tape the other
day.
He's
good. Yeah. But there's you'll probably play him next year. Yeah. He's gonna play Kansas.
Yeah.
I think he's gonna go to Vanderbilt. Actually,
I can see that.
All seriousness, Vanderbilt is somehow getting 5 stars left and right. But hey, don't investigate him. Wouldn't want to get anybody in trouble from Nike. So
Vanderbilt's Nike too.
Yeah.
Damn it.
So they're good. Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Just landing 5 stars.
Are
left
you
and
kidding
right.
me?
Yeah. So do your thing. So
bet he don't have to go in front of that board of trustees at Vanderbilt.
Nah. So anyways, you got that going on, but no, I do think it'll be a good atmosphere. It's going to be, but it's a game that I think there's a little bit of nervousness coming in from our side, man, because it's one now. You need to seriously win. You need to go into Kentucky with 2 losses.
Is this intentionally funny or not? Hurry, somebody. Tell the IU fans the back door is locked. Was that intentionally funny?
Yes.
Texter, touche.
That's pretty good.
IU nervousness, fan nervousness.
Yeah. No, I think there is because it's a game that now all of a sudden you feel like, it's not
Fabian a. Fabian Bradley doesn't care either about Romeo Langford.
Yeah, thank you. It's not a must win or the season's over, but man, it's close. It's close to like.
Are we talking must wins in game 7?
Yes, yes.
You lost 2 games to top 20 opponents.
You come in here and do that show. You do that post game show then. Let's go ahead.
Mark Ennis does the post game.
You go ahead
and
do that one.
Marcus Maven does the pregame show.
I agree. So does Steve. I'm just saying.
There is no threat of getting.
You deal with this fan base. You deal with me if they go in there and get beat by
Indiana. You couldn't even get through 30 minutes of Seton Hall post game talk.
No, I wouldn't do a post-game show for Indiana. That's why I don't do post-game shows. People ask all the time, why don't you and Marcus do the post-game show? Because.
It cost them a lot.
See? Because.
I don't know what that was. People.
It's not. For one, we cost too much, yes. And two. It's
Mark,
like,
it's no disrespect.
It's
we run up the score on anybody.
But in two, it's just, it's not healthy. It's not healthy for my career. It's not healthy for your career.
For the fan base.
It's not healthy for the fan base to get on there. You need somebody that can just be very calm and just do their thing. You don't need me getting on there going, look, I don't know. I mean, the season's over. They suck. I don't know. What do you want me to tell you? I just left stadium. They suck.
I can't believe you didn't go with me over there to do the post game.
I did. So. I did 30 minutes.
I left the game, Steve, with 8 minutes to go in a tie game with Seton Hall to go do a post game show.
I left when the three rimmed out. Man, and I walked so violently, man. Our guy Xavier, like, he didn't even say nothing. Xavier's a big dude. Friend of ours.
Yeah.
You know, he's
a former football player.
Yeah, yeah. He's big dude.
he takes care of us. He makes sure he's our Yum Center security.
Yeah, he does our thing down there. But, I mean, he didn't even say nothing. I just, as soon as it rimmed out, dude,
You know why? Because he's a football player. He knows exactly not to say
the sweet lady sitting next to me from the law school, I just slammed the chair, took off. I was done. I didn't say a word.
Steve, there's a problem.
I was like, I'm out of here.
Don't intimidate. Don't get me kicked out of my spot, Steve.
I felt like the Kentucky fan.
You see what happens, people.
With his middle fingers. Just walking out. It's like, why not?
While you were staring at the TV at the end of the game.
As Quentin's dribbling down. As Quentin was dribbling up, I was just middle fingers in the air.
With the cobra, arms behind your head.
I was just like, what is going on?
See what happens, people. We got Steve down here, and Steve is gonna get me kicked out of the scores. People, you do realize you're not allowed to cheer. You're not allowed to show emotion on the front row.
Yeah.
I mean, in the seat part, yes. But at the table, Steve, you can't do that.
I know. I've done good. Okay.
You don't get credit for doing good, Steve.
Kenny hasn't chastised me yet.
Not yet.
Hasn't jumped on me.
I don't know if I would pass along that message.
So we're happy.
So you can
clap under the table. Like that?
I think they can hear that.
Everybody gets it. So, but seriously,
Indiana game coming up. People,
that's why I
buy your tickets now.
There's a nervousness coming into this game. I'm telling you. I know what you're saying with it being game seven.
It can go off the rails. It can go off the rails so fast. But it can. Here's the thing. This is what I love about the sport, and I love basketball, and I love the recalibration of a team. I hate high expectation teams. I say it to you all the time. It's like buying a new car. When you have a great team, you got this new car, you end up parking it at the back of the parking lot. If you have to go to Walmart or anything, you end up worrying. You end up checking your car for scratches every time you're in your car, right? But if you get a car that you just know can go, and you want to keep it nice and take care of it and get the car that you have to make better. You have to get it, clean it up, get some new floor mats and get, I enjoy that.
Yes.
A little, I know I enjoy it more than you. I enjoy the process of the building.
But I don't disagree. I mean, I will say this. This team with where we're at right now would be a sweeter feel if they rose to where you got and you made a big run.
Yes.
I'm with you.
A undefeated Louisville team, you'd be talking about the same things. You'd be talking just like the Kentucky fan. Oh, they haven't played anybody. They were saying that before Seton Hall.
Yeah.
Purdue's no good. Seton Hall's no good. That's how you would judge a team that's supposed to. But now you get knocked on your rear end, right? And now you get to see the things that connect you to a fan base. You get to see the things that connect you to a team. You get to see your Damian, and Trey. Like, you get to experience the bad part of it and build it up from then.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, I know.
So, I only say all this to say your demeanor and feelings towards the program extremely change if you just lay into Indiana.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
You rip Siena tomorrow night.
Absolutely.
You lay into Indiana. You beat up on a couple, teams, and you're
Memphis next week.
Yeah, right. And you're as pumped. Like, Memphis is a name.
Yes.
To Louisville.
Right. Oh, 100%.
National respect.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah, Memphis isn't very good nationally.
You need Memphis to feel good as a Louisville fan.
In the garden.
In the garden.
Yeah.
It's one of those things like, I'm gonna enjoy this one. Louisville fan base is going to enjoy that one. And nobody, it's almost like you would go to the garden and have a whiteout, right?
Right.
And everyone would be looking at you like, what's Louisville so pumped about? This is Memphis. What do you mean?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, like,
you're Tubby Smith. There's a lot. There's and a lot there's there. Tubby Smith. Yeah, there's a lot there to be excited
like,
for.
Cal's all out. You know, like you're gonna beat them for so many reasons, and you would love it. And so your momentum and your energy will be exciting because you did take these losses.
No, I agree. I agree 100%. That's what I say. But
just that's soggy win, the loaf of bread.
Win. Yes, right. Going into Kentucky, two losses. I think everybody's
are you telling me there's
great.
No need for my there's no room for all this optimism that I got brewing?
No, I think yes, because I don't think Louisville loses again until they play Kentucky, and I think they're going to win there. So that would be I mean, because if Louisville plays, because let me hang on for a second. I just want to get this out of here too, and I know a couple people's going, oh, I'm just a hater. Ah, if Louisville plays the way they did against Seton Hall, they'll beat Kentucky.
You're going to have to own that one, Steve.
I will.
I'm listening.
One. I'll own that one. If they
elaborate, please.
If they play the same way they play against Seton Hall right now. Now, here's what I will say, what worries me a little bit with Kentucky
Rep
is.
Rep Arena?
Oh, yeah, obviously Rep Arena. So, but Kentucky only plays three games between now and Louisville. Now, I think that's advantage Louisville because Louisville plays, I think, six. So, but.
The same advantage Purdue had with all those games. That
yeah, but. Kentucky does get to test themselves a little bit more than Louisville in between now and then. Louisville does get IU. Kentucky gets UCLA, which I think is a formidable. I think IU's a little better than UCLA right now. But then they get Virginia Tech, too. Kentucky gets Virginia Tech. So that they got a few more chances there to kind of test themselves on.
Why is Kentucky playing Virginia Tech?
I don't know. They're playing at Rupp. I mean, they're not going there. What if I hope Buzz Williams goes in there and just bust them? which and let me say
how
this
did
too.
They get on that
let me
schedule.
Say this too. Can we, since we're hating for a few minutes, can we do this? Florida State, who's not going to finish top five in the ACC?
Are you sure?
Yes. Listen, no, it's no knock.
Nike school.
No, I don't. Well, yeah,
good recruits.
Yeah, so is Duke, North Carolina. I mean, all the other schools. Yeah, all the teams are winning.
The top 20 is going to be 19. But here's the thing:
they're not going to finish top five in the ACC, and that's just credit to the ACC. So you're not going to. And they bust Florida last night, who is the best team in the SEC.
And you know what? So
chill out with all that. The SEC's back.
But here's the problem, Steve. You know what? The first thing you get with the Florida situation. Oh well, when they get their other guy back. Then we'll get to really see what Florida looks like. They're already getting the top five pass for getting busted.
Well, it don't matter. I'm just saying. I mean, it's not. It's just. It just kind of killed that whole narrative. It was like, oh, well, the SEC's back, man. It's one of the top leagues in the country this year. Well, no, like the eighth best team in the ACC just tore your top team up. The top team in the SEC. So please tell me more about how great SEC basketball is this year.
Quick commercial break. We had it rolling. 8150, 93.9 is the number on 93.9 DeVille.
Keep it locked on Middays with Marcus Maben, presented by PapaJohns.com on 93.9 The Ville. And right now, enjoy three medium one-topping pizzas for $5.55 each when using the promo code MABEN5.
Welcome back. It's Midday with Marcus Maben. 8150, 93.9 is the number. 93.9 is the station. People... The weather has officially gotten colder, so now it's time for you to save $1,000 on the train comfort system at DFH Company. From now until mid-December, DFH Company will give you $1,000 off a new train comfort system or ask them about really low financing. It's hard to stop a train, and it's hard to not to call DFH Company today at 968-6222 or look them up online at dfhcompany.com. Visit dfhcompany.com for complete program eligibility, dates, details, and restrictions subject to credit approval. People, I try not to incite panic the whole time. We tried to discuss the Lamar Jackson element of the Heisman Trophy. It's funny because I'm trying to find the balance between disrespecting our team and our players and reminding people and regurgitating the people how huge of a time this is. You know, when you know you have to come in here, Steve,
yep,
and talk more Lamar Jackson.
Yes.
I'm sure if you're like me, a part of you says, dang, are we going to be able to talk? Like, you and I can talk Lamar Jackson all day long. We can talk Louisville football all day long. But then it's like another radio show about the disrespect of Lamar Jackson. Another show about how good he is. Another show predicting how he's going to go to that Tax Slayer Bowl down in Jacksonville,
yeah,
and just, you know, and just do another game of just domination. Like, another game of domination is going to change anything.
Yeah, he'll put up 400 some yards total offense, do his thing, you know.
Jalen Smith will look phenomenal.
Yeah.
Jair Alexander will be a lockdown,
yes,
defender.
Absolutely.
And then and it won't change the mock draft one bit.
No. No, I don't think so.
Because Baker Mayfield will still be playing, and the next year Josh Rosen, his announcement will come out, and, you know, then Lamar will just, you know.
Sam Darnold's one to watch because there's been rumors that he may go back to school. But I do think that Lamar may be one that it may be leading up to the draft. I may warn myself and all of us Louisville fans, yes, to, like, hang on. Let the crap talking go on,
yes,
because there's a couple teams that are like,
Lamar's no good.
I would take Lamar.
Right.
Hope he falls to 7.
Right.
8. You know, you know, so I will try to hold back a little bit because you know how that game's played. So
81-50, 93-9. Feel free to jump in on this conversation. I asked the question earlier. I wasn't sure if we got a definitive answer. Are you okay with being seen as a rogue program?
Yeah.
Are you going to be okay with BC? And the unfortunate part is you're going to be the rogue program, right?
Right.
With Donovan Mitchell in the NBA.
Golly.
Man of the year. Like, the most, like, think about this. You may have in the NFL and the NBA,
yeah,
the top three most liked human beings in both sports are Teddy Bridgewater, Donovan Mitchell, and you're going to have baseball.
Yeah. Brandon McKay. Yeah.
You're going to have the top three most liked people in their respective sports.
Lamar, too. I mean, Lamar.
Right.
Lamar's a little more, he's a little more edgy than Teddy, but he still is the type, I mean, he has the story with his mom and just everything that kind of just surrounds him, and you go, man, you know,
right,
like,
right,
he's a good dude.
Teddy was quiet likable. Lamar is fun likable. You know, more open, you know. I am who I am. Let it out.
Yeah.
Teddy's a little more polished, likable. Right?
Right.
Donovan Mitchell is just like, did you hear DeMarcus Cousins talking about Donovan Mitchell?
Yeah.
Do you hear the other? You see what I'm saying, people? Even Steve can't grow up enough because his hatred for DeMarcus Cousins goes so deep that when DeMarcus Cousins pours out his heart and soul on how good Donovan Mitchell is and how much he respects him, Steve can't even just say, hey, thanks, Boogie.
Yeah. No, I'm never calling him that, but but to your point, Donovan's doing his thing.
Is he still Tugs?
I don't really care.
You detach so easy, Steve.
Yeah, I really don't care what he wants to be called at this point.
You don't care if he's Tugs.
Bowen, Brian, Tugs, whatever. I mean,
so, but my point being, you're going to be the rogue program, and Donovan Mitchell's the most like NBA player in the league. You're going to be rogue program following these guys. And listen, you don't have to sugarcoat it. People do notice the way we hang on to our NBA players.
Yes.
Our NFL players.
Yeah.
People notice, like, what is it about? You know, what's the big deal about this Teddy? You know, just the way we share, just the way we pass along, you know, our news about, you know, our love for our players. I mean, it's disgusting. And it's really disgusting to other fan bases.
No, yeah, but I mean, it is something that, I mean, that is true where, I mean, these players are really truthfully embraced, man. I mean, it's a big deal. I mean, like, they kind of...
was that?
I have no idea.
Why did you just ignore that? Why did you just ignore that, Steve?
Because I just...
We get text messages, I can't. Steve reads them, laughs. Sorry, Marcus and Steve, but you did not give UK any breaks for more...
No, that was earlier.
I know. I'm just... Look, when you see the tweet or when you see the text, you have to go back to their previous... Just like that, people, you get spicy with me, I'm going to your page. I'm going to your page, and I'm going to go back about 6 months into your history, right?
Yeah.
And see what you were talking about six months ago.
No, that's, absolutely.
That I can judge who you are.
Yeah, that was something.
The thing that caught our attention was the guy saying that Carl Anthony Towns is the most liked player in the NBA over Donovan Mitchell. Like, where did that come from?
Hey, cool.
Okay. Were you just looking? Awesome. You were just looking to start something there.
So, with that being said, but no, I do agree with you. I mean, that there is something to be said for that.
Last question I have to ask, 8150-939. Risk reward, do you want Lamar Jackson back?
Yeah.
Risk reward. You know, just
Because I don't think he would be taking a huge risk. He would be taking an injury risk, yes. That's why I say, even with the bowl game, you would watch. But draft stock wise, the crop of quarterbacks next year isn't anywhere as good as this year's. So, I mean, if he decided to come back,
right?
Sure, I get it. You're still going to be a top 10 pick.
So what do you think? Like, we almost went into that conversation full throttle about next year's quarterbacks, and I told you they're going to create one. They're going to create a narrative of some new quarterbacks on Penn State. Or, listen, Ohio State's going to have a new quarterback with the same Ohio State caliber team.
Yeah, I mean, USC.
Right.
Oh, Chip Kelly's going to have a new quarterback out of UCLA.
Right, who's going to run up some numbers.
Yeah.
Of course. And then there'll be 10 new darlings.
Yeah, Willie Taggart.
But will they be eligible?
That's the thing. Draft eligible. I don't think the class will be as good next year. So if Lamar came back, it's not one of those things that would be like, oh, the worst decision of all time. Like, you would get it.
Yeah, I would just
I just think that I just can't fathom him slipping out of the first round.
And you understand, just something in me is just tired of seeing him being raked through the mud.
Yeah,
you
know, yeah. Like, it's just almost like, man, just go. Now, I will say this. Let me say this real quick. I also, on the same breath, I don't think the crop of quarterbacks is good next year. But I don't think there'll be as many teams in the first round that need, I mean, you're talking like eight teams this year could take a quarterback. So that's something that you also weigh out.
But people, we're coming up on it. December 9th, the Jazzy Big Roast Brunch, $14.99, all you can eat. I'll repeat that. December 9th, the Jazzy Pig Roast Brunch, $14.99, all you can eat, or $25 with bottomless mimosas. Steve, do you know what a mimosa is?
Isn't it orange juice and alcohol? I think it's orange juice.
You know what I'm talking about.
No,
Steve.
Seriously, I think it's an orange juice.
Sure, what's that?
I don't know what goes in it.
You know exactly
what goes in it other than orange juice.
Don't worry about Steve. People in the mimosa world, we all know what we're talking about.
Okay.
Steve, the Mimosa Club.
Okay.
That's a good name, the Mimosa Club.
That's perfect.
You know what? Marcus's Mimosa Club.
Yeah.
Book it.
Yeah, that'll sell. Steve's egg.
Marcus's Mimosa Club is right next door to Steve's AA.
they're starting businesses.
That is funny, people. All the brunch favorites, like the steak, eggs, biscuits, and gravy, and our famous smoked whole pig holiday catering available. Smoked hams, bourbon brine smoked turkeys, all that available. 502 Cafe.
502 does biscuits and gravy.
Steve, you know 502.
No, I didn't.
Does biscuits.
Oh,
and gravy.
My gosh. I'll be over to see y'all soon.
Book it, people.
Whew.
Steve, calm down over there. Goodness gracious.
Penetrate the center with some of these IU fans.
You had to bring it back to that part of it. I lost my train of thought, Steve, with your
penetration.
Vince Tyree.
Making chicken at the center.
Vince Tyree. ESPN Louisville, Drew Diener, he joins us. We give it to you.
All right. We got the news last night about Lamar Jackson. We got the news the day before that about the bowl. And I'm sure a man who's been on the phone with a variety of people and excited about it is kind enough to take some time out this morning. UofL AD Vince Tyree, who was on the line with us. Vince, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you doing?
We're doing well. First, your reaction to the biggest news from last night, that Lamar Jackson is a Heisman Trophy finalist.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, you never know how that thing's going to go, but certainly we had full expectations that he would be one of the finalists. You know, he's had a terrific season. Everybody knows the stats speak for it, and I think his, some of the individual plays he had during the year, there's plenty of highlights. It's, we're excited for him. We're obviously very proud of him.
What does it do, even if he doesn't win, what does it mean for the, or does it help the university to have a guy back for a second year who's also happens to be the defending champ?
Yeah, well, I think that, you know, for having him up there, it speaks volumes for what he did. He certainly didn't let down. He got better. And I think it says a lot about Lamar. And then, obviously, our coaches put him in position to be successful. You know, with the offense, he's really grown into it. And Bobby, I think, has made some adjustments with having a dual-threat quarterback. It really does speak volumes. And I think for recruiting, it's certainly helpful when they see that anytime you've got a Heisman winner like that, not just a candidate, but a winner, and that's certainly going to be a finalist again, that's exciting to kids. I mean, to see them, you know, to see what's going on at U of L and want to be a part of it.
Vince, have you had a sit down yet with Coach Petrino just kind of to review where the football program is and get his thoughts about things, that kind of thing that usually happens after a season?
Yeah, we haven't done that yet because the season's not over. So I think, you know, for that, Billy, we have talked about it kind of in just sound bites along the way. But my view is not to get in his way right now. He's got a lot of recruiting going on. We talk about a variety of things. Certainly, he and I had to get to be friends in a different way from a fan, you know, of a coach to being an AD with a coach. But I think we kind of agreed, let's look at these things at the end of the year and kind of assess where we are and what we need to do. It's no different, I say, than reviewing a lot of the people I've had to deal with in business. It just happens to be the head football coach at U of L.
I want to get into the bowl here in just a little bit, but I want to follow up with that, what Billy asked you there, because I think it's been interesting with all these, you know, crazy offseason coaching carousel. You know, Coach Petrino really hasn't been, you know, prominently listed as somebody that's a part of it. And I don't know, is that because he has let people know he's happy, or do you think others were not calling him?
Well, I think he's let me know that. I think that's important. I think he's let the staff know that. You know, he and I have just, like I said, it's just been sound bites. He knows we're interested in his long-term opportunity here. And you know, I'm committed to trying to do what I can to make him successful here, both, you know, on and off the field. And certainly, and then compensation-wise, you guys know them. You know, you got to deal with the market, whatever the market is. But we just had an amendment to his contract last year. We've made an amazing amount of investments, in the stadium expansion and elsewhere around the program, and into the assistant coaching staff and so forth. And I think he's appreciative of that. And I think those are hotbed coaching opportunities. And yes, you can go maybe make a few more bucks, but he seems content here, and he's done a terrific job. I think he really likes the class that he had come in. We played a lot of young players, you know, played a lot of true freshmen this year, and he's doing extremely well right now in the recruiting trail. So it's hard to walk away from that.
Let's talk about the bowl. It seems to me you got best case scenario of all the bowls you were mentioned with, at least from the fan standpoint, to be in Jacksonville. You got an SEC opponent. I would think everybody was all smiles on Sunday.
Yeah, I think the fans were pretty excited, even from the ones at the basketball game were pretty excited. It was clear, you know, you do your old, you know, your early, hey, order your bowl tickets, and that was certainly the one that got more votes by the order, you know, starting of the early ordering your tickets, and we've had a good early response on tickets, so, you know, we hope the fan base follows us again like they have to Florida. It's a great time of year. We have a big alum down there, particularly in the Tampa and Naples area, so we're going to rely on them to generate some noise to combat those damn cowbells on the other side.
I mean, that is a real thing. All the alumni, for whatever reason, there's a huge alumni base in Tampa, right? I mean, isn't that like the second biggest city for U of L alumni? I've always heard that.
Yes, that is true. And so, you know, we had our operations meeting on it yesterday and spoke just about that. And then, you know, you've got key people in the South Florida area. Al Parrish, who I've spent a lot of time tailgating with over the years, does a great job rallying the group, and I think he still puts out the annual directory. I'm not sure, but there's a 500 plus down there that they do a lot of game watch parties, and hopefully they're in the stadium this time to watch the game.
Yeah,
Vince, what's the deal on? Do you have to buy a certain amount of tickets down there? How does all that stuff work?
Yeah, they've got a, you know, they always have a commit, and I think that's what's more comfortable for us too, Billy, about going to Jacksonville. It's around 7,200 tickets is what we're looking at, and you know, we'll knock that out. You know, we've done better than that at some of these bowls, and sometimes it's been a little less, but we'll try to encourage tickets, faculty, all comers to be there and support us. But I tell you what, if we had that same number to hit going to Pinstripe, it'd probably been a little harder challenge to get people up to New York on the travel. So heading the Sunshine should help that.
Yeah, I mean, I was just, you know, we talked about this last time you were on about, you know, that the Bulls sort of make their own business decisions. But I'm sure that you had to express to them that, look, it may not be good for everybody. If we go to the Pinstripe Bowl, we're not going to travel as well, and you're going to, you know, it's going to be worse for everybody. People are going to think less of Louisville. They're not going to get the ticket sales. I mean, did you do any of that sort of lobbying, and did they listen?
Yeah, I think, you know, certainly did some lobbying. And I think the best thing about it for us, too, you know, the way it's hard to take you through all the dynamics on what happened when Alabama gets picked, and then the domino effect happens. We have Notre Dame and Virginia Tech hit the two Orlando bowls, kind of open it up for us. And, but also, I think Boston College having a, you know, certainly they took one from us here. We're still hurting from. But, you know, them having a good year, they had the opportunity to go to the Pinstripe Bowl, and I think they hadn't been to a bowl in a while. There's going to be a lot of excitement for them. So I think the Pinstripe was happy to have them against Iowa, which would be a good matchup. So that certainly helps. So
that makes total sense.
I think the ACC's thoughtful about it. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that makes total sense for Boston. So if Ohio State had been the number four team, would that have put you – would have put Louisville in a different bowl?
Possibly. I don't know, you know, for sure, but that's you know, we were looking at all the domino effects of what would happen if you know, if they would have moved around, but that I think it appeared to be the best case for us was what happened.
Yeah. Yeah. Vince Tyree with us here, 93 on the Ville, ESPN 680. And did the Bulls ask about Lamar, like any sort of, you know, hey, is he definitely gonna play? Did they ask you that sort of thing? Is it even appropriate for them to ask that, you know, at this point?
No, they really don't ask that. They're pretty respectful about it. You know, and Lamar is, as you guys know, is a great competitor. He's such a team player. He always has been a team player, even while he's winning all these awards or being nominated for these awards. He's just a outstanding individual, and you know, really hadn't even come up. Maybe if he had a different character about him, but he doesn't. So it really didn't come up at all. Now that I think about it. Hmm.
You look at he and Teddy both. I mean, you couldn't have, I don't think, just not only two great talents, but two finer young men who have conducted themselves with class and done things the right way.
I agree with that. I mean, they're certainly a big tribute to their families and the way they were raised. And then you'd like to believe once they get here, we've got a terrific staff around our student athletes. Not just the coaching staff, but in the, you know, in academics, nutrition, all those things that we have, that mental health, all the things that they need, performance to be successful, but also to be, you know, just good people in the community. And that's one of the things I've stressed right off the bat is the old, you know, you guys have heard me say this before about the way I was raised on, you know, effort and conduct, whether you're in your uniform or out. And I stress that all the time to them, that they're equally important, and your results on the field will be reflective of that effort and conduct.
Well, as somebody who knew your dad, I tell you what, there wasn't any better person or individual or representative of U of L or the city than Charlie Tyree. He was just a rock of a guy, and your mom, it's just when I heard, Vince, that you were going to be the guy to replace Tom, I thought that was really a really good move, because to me, and I think to a lot of other people in this city, the name of Tyree means a lot.
Well, it's certainly one that we've worked hard to maintain. Dad's at a high standard. He's a, you know, obviously a terrific person. I miss him dearly, but he, you know, he did a good job guiding us as kids. There was five of us, and Mom did as well. And you know, that's where I get a lot of my traits. You know, and those are the same traits I'm sharing with the student athletes in a variety of sessions, whether it be in the Thornton Center or in a team meeting. So it started with him.
I mean, I'm talking with Vince Tyree here, 9th round of the Ville, ESPN 680. I mean, it feels like you're in the SEC at this point. You end the season with an SEC team. You've got Mississippi State in a bowl, and you open next year with Alabama. It's like you're playing in a league right now.
I love it. You know, that's the thing is it's great. It's great having the, you know, kind of the interconference rivalries between the ACC and SEC. You know, it's certainly terrific getting matched up with an SEC team. I think it really jacks up the players, too. And they enjoy playing Kentucky, certainly. It doesn't take much to get fired up for that, but they really do. They were, you know, the other day at the press conference with Reggie Bonifant and Chucky Williams, Charles Stansbury. I mean, they're excited about playing SEC and certainly playing Mississippi State.
What does a win in this do for the offseason, for the momentum? I mean, I think it's safe to say the season wasn't what a lot of people wanted it to be, but what does a win in this bowl game do? Sometimes the games don't mean much. What does this one mean?
I do think they mean a lot for, I think for recruiting, particularly when we're down there in Florida. We have 16 kids on the roster from Florida. We're recruiting heavy down there. We have a lot of recruits in this weekend and next from Florida, so I think it means a lot, just momentum and confidence. And you know, it's a great thing for these younger kids to get another month of practice and hopefully build on their confidence too. You know, we played a lot of true freshmen. Gives us a chance to really teach with them. But I do believe it's a carryover myself. And when I played and we ended the season going further, you know, my junior year, the next year we went even further, my senior year, and I really do think that it plays into it. I believe in the mental aspect of that.
You know, Vince, we all understand that there are still some major hurdles in the men's basketball program. But yet when you look at the entire athletic program at U of L, there's really things are pretty sound and going pretty well with all the other sports. I mean, I think that once this basketball thing is finally resolved, you know, that I think there's a lot to be proud of going on over there, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
Well, I think so, or I wouldn't have done this. You know, you know, I think that, you know, there's a, you know, the 600-plus student-athletes. You got to take on another couple hundred with the band and the dance teams and cheerleaders and so forth. And, you know, they go practice their craft every day like everything's great, and they're performing extremely well. I think even the basketball team right now is – you know, it's performing well. I know David wants to perform better, and that was a tough loss the other day. But, you know, in general, the kids want to win. We recruit top athletes, top kids, but they're competitors, and I just don't see the it's probably more us and our fan base who worries about some of the things that are going on that we have to deal with off the court, and they're no fun. And they certainly hear from a lot of fans that are incredibly supportive, then there's always going to be that base who's not. But, you know, you got to trust what's going on out there, and we're working our butts off to make things better. And we know we have some hurdles, but we're working hard to make it better.
I'll let you go on this, Vince Tyree, with us here, 93 on the Ville, ESPN 680. I mean, you're the AD. You've been a longtime sports fan, a follower of sports. What do you make now of this off-season coaching carousel of what has gone on here? I mean, what do you take away from it, both as someone who's in a hiring position, but as someone who's a fan of this, and this is the offseason, you know, the offseason you're watching in front of your eyes?
Well, in football, it seems to occur more than any place. And it certainly, these are high-dollar positions. There's a, you know, high-dollar investment in these facilities. We're doing it ourselves, and people expect a return. And I mean that from inside the athletics as well as sitting in the stands. You know, we want to win, want to be entertained, and I think these coaches know it. It's amazing the price that you know, where the market is today on these coaches, but it is what it is. You know, we don't get our opportunity to sit in and weigh in on that. It's just the market bears. It's like we've seen in professional sports, and it's trickled down into collegiate sports.
Are you learning
football?
Have you learned anything from any mistakes you've watched others make? Are you know, making notes on this if you have to, you know, make any hiring decisions yourself here?
Well, you know, I've certainly had my opinions along the way, just like you guys get to do every day. So I'm a study of it. You know, I watch what's going on. I do, you know, just from my business mind, I'm always intrigued by what people are doing to incent others to do things or what's fair in my mind. But I do think, you know, I've had success being close to people, my, you know, senior executives, and I'm close with the coaches. And communication goes a long way, and you know, it's just the nature that sometimes paranoia creeps in, and you need to let these coaches know where they stand one way or the other and work with them. And that, I think that helps solve a lot of these when you're in tough issues and you think coaches are kissing one, thinking of another.
All right. Well, we know not to get you a cowbell for Christmas. We'll see if we
Don't
can find some other noisemaker. But, Vince, as always, appreciate the time.
Okay, thanks, guys.